Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky, broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, welcome, welcome. I don't know what you're doing. I hope you're having a good day. Unless you're on Klay Thompson's boat, you're not having the best day. Klay Thompson is once again having the best day in the Bay Area. He keeps on winning every single day of that guy's life. Like, he had two really bad days. The day he tore his ACL, and then the day his Achilles went. Every other day has pretty much been smashing for that guy. He's on
living my best life.
On Instagram Live right now, having himself a real fun afternoon.
You guys are lucky I'm even here right now, because he told us that backside of Angel Island, pull up. I mean, if I had a boat, I would not be here.
It would be like one of those scenes in an old cop movie where you go commandeer someone else's
That's
boat.
Right.
Like, I need to take
Get
your boat.
Get out of the boat, sir.
I need to go to Angel Island. Why?
Start your engine!
Exactly. It's time to go.
Yeah,
you coming, Ray?
No.
I know you got plans later, but we could just pop out to the boat for a minute.
So much of that doesn't interest me. I've been on boats before, and the only thing I could think of, when this goes down, I'm going first.
Huh.
Because my level of water safety is, I'll wash my hands.
Have you ever been to Angel Island?
I have, yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's great.
I've walked around it once. Like, uh-huh. I did the circumference trail once. And
I
then
love a boat, unlike Ray.
I was in the marina. I was dating a girl in the marina the night that Angel Island caught fire.
Oh, whoa.
We went up to the roof of her apartment and watched Angel Island burn. It was like a movie. It looked like something you'd see at the end of Ben-Hur or Spartacus. Like, a whole island was on fire. It looked CGI. It was incredible. It was incredible.
So, in other words, you took a girl to perform your tribute to arson.
No. Just use the roof and the vantage point to watch somebody do what. I don't know how that actually started, but that was a big, big, big fire a few years ago out on Angel Island. It looked beautiful. Like, I sound like a pyro. Like, oh, the fire is so beautiful.
No, you sound exactly like
it's
that.
It's an unpopulated island. I mean, it's okay. You know, I don't think anyone got hurt in that fire.
I don't think anyone did either. But anyway,
lots of Angel Island stuff going on. And look, if you're on your boat going to meet up with Klay, just flip on your radio, you know, turn on your Odyssey app. We're good to go.
I believe the instructions were pull up.
Yeah, pull up. Backside Angel Island.
Yeah, pull up jumpers, pull up Angel Island. Either way, we got an awful lot to talk about today. A couple of great guests. David Locke, who is the play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. He is also he's like the creator of the whole Locke podcast network, and he's got an awful lot of teams that have signed up for a piece of that. So we think he's a pretty talented guy, and he's going to join us today to talk about what is a must-win game for the Jazz. We got a couple of must-win games for the Jazz and the Sixers tonight, and we're going to get ourselves a Game 7 in Brooklyn. Fellas, Saturday at 5:30 on TNT. It's the biggest game of the entire NBA season to date, not involving the Golden State Warriors, obviously, for us. That should be a really good one if that Milwaukee team that played last night can actually find its way to the airport, get on an airplane, and land in Brooklyn. I don't know if that team can get on an airplane because it hasn't yet this series, but if that team last night gets on an airplane, we might have ourselves a fourth quarter in a game seven. And that could be fun.
Well, here's the thing. They made the adjustments that we expected them to make. Brooklyn had a problem with them because Brooklyn is basically playing with, you know, one hand and one leg tied behind its back. And if Brooklyn can't make adjustments off the adjustments that Milwaukee made, then there will be a road team win. This is going to be Steve Nash's biggest test yet, to try to figure out how to show Milwaukee a different face with what is an incredibly depleted lineup. And that's why coaches get paid big money. It's not to deal with the press. It's to, okay, you've been handed a gravel sandwich, make it taste good.
What's interesting, so I think there's a few things that Milwaukee did. I mean, we have the whole show to talk about it, but strategically speaking, Ray's right. Budenholzer did two things. I mean, maybe we should give credit to Giannis on one of them that everyone has been talking about, that any idiot could see, you should do this. One was Giannis should shoot less threes.
Right.
He shot none threes. So he shot as many less threes as he possibly could. And whether we credit him or the coach for that, thumbs up, guys. Well done. The other thing, and I think in both cases, really, because we didn't necessarily say Giannis never shoot a three again. I think in both cases, we could say he almost even overcorrected. Because the other thing to me was a lot of people said, play your guys more. You know, don't cap Middleton and Giannis at 38 or 40. Get them up there. And
here it is.
Yeah, but he basically played six guys all night. And I don't know. That's going a little far. Because as Ray points out, one of the advantages they have is the other team is depleted. But if your guys are six dudes playing 40 minutes, I'm not sure how much you could take advantage of that depletion. I guess we'll see. But there's one other thing that I thought was kind of subtle, and I'm not sure I knew exactly how to figure it out until I was listening to Marcus Thompson on the Bill Simmons podcast today. And one of the things they were talking about, Big Waz also on, was Milwaukee's defensive strategy. Part of what they always do is we're not going after offensive rebounds. We're trying to stop transition. But I think Mike Budenholzer realized with James Harden incapable of transition,
you want to run.
The Nets aren't going to run.
Right.
So they could crash the offensive boards all night and not worry about getting it run back down their throat the other way. And they like tripled their offensive rebound count in this game from the previous game, which I think was a huge factor.
You're the bigger team. Act like it.
Yeah. Get in there and crash the boards.
You're the bigger team. You're the deeper team. Act like it. And that goes back to Giannis. Where did we say he needed to get to work? He needed to get to work in the lane. Go downhill. Drop your shoulder, go to the rim. He did. No threes, he talked about it.
I think there was maybe one or two plays that I was open in the three-point line that I could shoot it, but still felt like I could go downhill. But this game, I didn't shoot any three. Maybe next game I'll shoot a couple. I don't know how it's going to go. What I know is that when I play to my strength, that's when I enjoy the game the most, and that's what I try to do.
By the way, I love his accent.
It's delightful.
I could listen to that guy read a menu. But he was at his best last night, and when an MVP is at his best, you have something to watch. When Kevin Durant in the previous game was at his best, you had something to watch. A game seven, a fourth quarter, that's what I hope we have on Saturday. That's when the NBA is at its best, and I really hope that we get there. A tight game that gives us a fourth quarter. That is like a fork in the road for legacies and all this stuff, and you are probably right. You know how we talked about, you know, playing Durant 48 minutes tonight means he's probably going to run out of legs in the next game. Sure, Milwaukee could have probably gone deeper. Knowing what we know now and that they won the game, hindsight, of course, is 2020. They had one mission, survive the night.
Yep.
That's it. And you play however many minutes, however few guys you need to survive the night to survive the night, and then tomorrow is officially something you worry about when the sun comes up. So I hear you. You're right. In an economy of energy, of course you wouldn't want to do that. Win the game, they did.
In an elimination game, that all goes away.
Right.
Well, they also had the advantage of coming to the conclusion that James Harden can't hurt them.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
basically, which is why, okay, Connaughton now gets to be on the floor just enough to miss all five threes. And nobody else, they don't need anybody else. As long as they stayed out of foul trouble, which they did. You know, the only guy who had five was, drawing a blank thing, none of them had five. Joe Harris was the guy who had five. But they basically just said, James Harden can't hurt us.
Yeah.
And that is a rarity in Harden's career. He can't move, therefore, he can't amass enough things to negate the fact that he can't move on defense either. And so they ran around him with complete impunity and said on offense, we're worried about the big, tall, skinny guy. You're on your own.
Yeah, and we even talked about yesterday, how quickly would they identify that Harden was either there to contribute or just set you up as an okey-doke again. They spotted the okey-doke early. They didn't fall for it and proceeded accordingly.
And I think they played afraid of Harden in Game 5 until they found that out.
Yes, and also, I can't believe we've gone 10 minutes. Chris Middleton was incredible.
He was.
If Chris Middleton plays like that, the Bucks can win the title.
No doubt. No doubt. This was good. This was good basketball. It was fun last night. It sets up a wild Game 7 coming up on Saturday. We have two teams fighting for their lives tonight. We've got David Locke, who does play-by-play for the Jazz, joining us. Joe DeCamera is a WIP radio host in Philadelphia. And with the Phillies in town, obviously we got the fighting Farhan and Team Kapler going up against the team that said, that guy can't manage. Well, he's managed his way to the best record in all of baseball. Whoopsie. That's what the Giants are enjoying. With the Phillies coming to town, if you want to watch it on television, you're going to need something called a peacock. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on today. We've got the Angels in the Bronx taking on the Yankees. We've got James Wiseman sitting down talking a little bit with media. We got bouncing balls to determine what the Warriors' future is going to look like. Ping pong balls certainly coming into focus next week. We got an awful lot of stuff to get into this afternoon. It's good to have you here.
Home Depot, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we'll have time.
Yeah, seriously, we got an awful lot to do. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. The first thing we're going to do when we come on back, though, is give you a chance to win $1,000 here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I think we should start every segment today with just a little bit of good news, right? Let's start with the good news. Happy Friday. Here's a chance to win $1,000. That sounds like good news. Text the code word NORTH to 72881. NORTH, 72881. It's a chance to win $1,000 brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Let's go places. This is a multi-state contest with message and data rates applying. More good news. More. You want more good news?
I do.
Klay Thompson's on a boat having a great time.
My floppy flops. Man. Hey, salmon season. 8 days, y'all. 8 days till salmon season. Who wants to go to Stinson with me and hook up 6 fat salmon? Come home, fillet them right up. You got sashimi for dinner.
I mean,
yes, I do. I want to go to I want to go wherever he's going and catch some salmon.
That is literally the first time he has ever indicated that he learned anything from 4 years at Washington State.
Salmon season.
Yeah, because that's a thing.
Totally.
That's a serious thing.
Oh, you don't
the salmon
start even though
flowing.
You're 5 hours inland.
Oh yeah.
You're getting in the truck and you are heading for the river.
Well, and it's salmon season. Catching salmon is like literally like catching fish in a barrel. They're everywhere. That's the beauty of salmon season. They all go running at once. And just for the record, I've some Alaskan salmon fishing experience. If I'm needed in Sausalito, Clay, I am available.
Name that fish.
So, salmon. Wild Alaskan salmon. Mm. So is there okay, so I know that like when it goes crab season, if you were to pull a crab out of the water before crab season and caught doing so, you're in a serious amount of trouble.
I'm not sure it's that serious, but there are some regulations about when.
If you are like a commercial fisherman, it's serious. If you're just a person who's like,
yeah,
because
you have to have a license, and they will take that thing away in a heartbeat.
Yeah. So growing up in upstate New York, we did a couple summers in Cape Cod, and let me tell you that when it comes to like lobster season,
lobster
messing with another person's lobster trap is about the most serious offense you can have in the state of Massachusetts.
It's the same thing with crab and org.
End up in a whale's mouth.
Exactly. Sully, how'd you get in here? Oh, I was messing with Nikki's traps again.
No, but yeah, boats get sunk over stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. It's deathly serious. Anyway.
Because that literally is the absolute embodiment of what players like to say, you know, is you're taking food off my table. They are taking food off your table.
That's right.
Anyways, good news, everybody. Salmon season is upon us. Eight days.
8 days.
Eight
folks.
Days from salmon season.
Meet us in Sausalito.
Think how much different. I think he said Stinson.
Oh,
he's going
he?
Out to Stinson
Sorry.
Beach. Yeah,
my bad.
This has got to be is ocean salmon.
I got my.
Are there ocean salmon?
I got my
or
no, S.
Open water.
Marin
freshwater
County salmon. S cities confused.
I don't know. Here, wait, let's check in once again.
My floppy flops.
It's floppy.
Hey. Salmon season. 8 days, y'all. 8 days till salmon season. Who wants to go to Stinson with me and hook up 6 fat salmon? Come home, fillet them right up. You got sashimi for dinner.
By the way, that's a champion right there. Because a normal person, what would your goal be? Let's go get a salmon. Klay Thompson's talking about, let's go get 6 salmon.
Well, if you want sashimi for the whole party, you need 6-7 salmon.
Yeah, if you're going to go to the trouble of going out there, come back with dinner for a week.
I mean, remember, he just invited like 12,000 people to Stinson Beach in 8 days. So,
well, 12,000 people aren't going to do that. But my wife has 5 brothers, all of whom fish.
Oh,
and they never come home with one.
No.
One is not. One
That's a
is,
bad day.
You're screwing around. No, you don't come back. You come back with zero because the one you caught, you're throwing back. You don't come back with one. You come back with a bunch, or you come back empty.
Come on, ladies, come on, ladies. 1 pound fish. Come on, ladies, come on,
I mean, was it the perfect week to find this or not? We got Klay talking.
It all ties together.
Klay has turned into a daily fish and stream report.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, eat your heart out.
Just listening to 80s jams, drinking a latte on a boat, you know? I mean, honestly, wouldn't we all like to be that? Except Ray.
No.
Except Ray.
I mean, all credit to anybody who can go out there and have fun, but Klay Thompson's fun does not affect me in the slightest.
Well, but it could. Pull up, Ray.
Yeah.
So
you're invited.
All I have to do is go get a boat.
For all he knows, you were watching the Instagram Live. He invited you.
What would be really incredible if Klay really assembled this posse on a beach
to
go salmon fishing in Stinson. And then out of the water, emerging pretty much like Raquel Welch, comes Ray wearing waders, a big fishing net, a fishing hat, just ready to fish. No, he's like, I was told to pull up. Here I am.
No, the real one is we all arrive and Ray's already there with 10 salmon ready to go. Got there early.
You know, they have salmon at stores.
Yeah, it's that's a lot just, easier to just go get the salmon.
I mean, that's why God made Safeway.
Yeah, not much of a fisherman in general then.
None. I went fishing on a boat with my ex-brother-in-law once, and it was 4 hours of the worst half hour I'd ever spent.
Because
time stands still, and there's no escape. There's no cable.
There's cooler beer, right?
Ray, that's the appeal, I think, to a certain degree, is the time spent relaxing, and as Damon said, with beer.
It's not, but all you're doing is watching somebody else fish. It couldn't be worse. And the only thing you're getting out of that is melanoma. Here, I'm going to get six fish and have the time of my life and get a beer buzz on, and you're going to have third-degree burns.
Sunscreen
who wouldn't want
is going to take care of that for you.
There's not a chance. I did it once.
Wow.
Well,
that's more than we can say
it's just awful.
It's more than we can say about burritos. So
You tried it once. Important thing is you tried it.
Oh, no. He told me it'd be fun. And I'd never done it before.
Well,
and he was my new brother-in-law. So I said, all right, at least I don't have to, sit here in the house with the wives.
That's
get out
how
on the
most
boat.
Men get
and
involved
I'm,
in fishing.
I'm literally going, surely there's a place you can drop me off.
I could just imagine being stuck on a boat with an unwilling Ray Ratto. It was a hell of a time for him,
too. He was unaffected by my discomfort. He did get plowed. He got his limit. And he just, when he asked me, he said, you want to go out tomorrow? And I just said, I'd rather eat my own foot.
I mean, come on.
Was not interested in going back out there. So we got the Clay Thompson 8 days from salmon fishing update. Let's hear a little bit about the Achilles, don't you think?
Yeah.
He talked about that, too.
When you play it again, I plan on hopefully early next season. I mean, the Achilles is like a 12-month recovery phase. So I also have to factor in my left knee, and I don't want to come back and be half myself. You know what I'm saying? Recovery's going, though. It's slow. The Achilles is tedious. Man. Lit out today.
First of all, is he listening to Jackson 5 or is that some off the wall mic? Is that Michael Jackson in the background? I can't spot the background song that he's listening to.
I do believe it was Michael Jackson.
I leaned in for the Achilles report, but then I'm like, what's he listening to?
Yeah, no.
He keeps getting that Spokane out there for you. Well, it's Pullman, actually. Because who else, except somebody in rural Washington, would think that Michael Jackson is still worth listening to?
Look. Lots of people.
Yeah, here's the thing.
That's a complicated discussion for another time.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
I'm talking about the fact that he's 30 years done.
Oh, well, that, Ray, is just a surefire sign that you're failing to appreciate music for its whole shelf life.
I mean, I'm going to go listen to some Sly and the Family Stone. They haven't touched an album in 40 years. You know what I mean? Like
I played Sly and the Family Stone for my son yesterday because he said the word higher for the first time. So we listened to...
In what context? Daddy, I've never seen you.
No, okay. No, we're not at that stage yet. He can't tell.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself, too. Kid has no idea what's going on.
I think they pick up nonverbal cues, like you sitting in a puddle of your own drool on the couch while there's nothing on television.
It's been years since that happened, Ray.
Don't you miss those times?
There's always something on television these days.
By the way, Moore, he's talking about championships. Clay Thompson on championships.
That's the plan. 2022 NBA champs. Man, I miss hooping. I meant that when I said there's nothing like the finals, yo. You got media from all over the world. It's the center of the basketball universe. There's no more I can say so, baby.
Dude, what a day he's having.
At the end of every one of these cuts, it comes back to...
Living my best life.
Every time.
The phrase, there's media from all over the world. And I thought we were the problem. All of a sudden, they like us en masse as long as we never ask them anything.
Clay has never been the media is bothering me guy. He was a...
He's been the media is something I avoid assiduously guy.
But only at the beginning. I mean, as time has gone on and he's felt more comfortable, like, the media's kind of been his best friend.
After...
When he wants to do that.
Yeah.
After the first NBA Finals, I remember walking in to Warriors Media Day and just how different everything was. Like, they had won the NBA championship. No, this was also, I think it was Kevin Durant signing. Like, so this was, we were further down 17. Even in the road. Exactly. That's when it was like, okay, every single network in the world is here covering Warriors Media Day. I walked up to Clay and I was like, you asked for this. He's like, man, we didn't ask for this. We did not ask for this. I'm like, you did.
Yeah.
You did. And then we did an interview, and it's the last time I've done an interview with Clay Thompson.
Ordering off a one-item menu.
I think we could get him these days. We should try. I also think that's different from the environment of the NBA Finals and being the center of the basketball universe, part of which is everyone who covers basketball being there, right? I mean, that's what he's talking about.
Well, and also you're walled off. You have to stand behind a podium, lie to people for 8 minutes, and then you can disappear.
Also, real quick for a 925 texter.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Since we're talking so much about the Warriors, let's just keep it right here, because James Wiseman was sitting down doing the Warrior Talk podcast with Monty Poole.
Yeah.
And was asked to grade his own rookie year, and here's what James Wiseman had to say, the grade he gave himself.
When you look at your rookie season, what kind of grade would you give yourself?
I'd say probably like a B+. I guess probably like a B+. Just because, like, due to injuries and stuff, like me getting injured, like, that's part of the game. But I say I did pretty good. Like, I had a lot of ups and downs, but most of them was like positive, and I actually learned a lot this year. So I say a B+.
So what would it have taken for you to give yourself an A?
Just play the whole season, just get as much experience. So I most definitely say a B+.
You know, I'm not going to begrudge the guy giving himself a probably full half a grade more than he probably actually deserved. You know, the real grade he deserved was an incomplete.
Yeah, well, see, exactly. I mean, when he was establishing what his grade was based on, you know, well, I would have given myself an A if I had played the whole season. Based on that, it's a C, because he missed a ton of time for various reasons, and all that time sort of slowed his development. And I'm not talking about what he did when he was playing, but if you're grading yourself on the amount of time you had, I don't know that you give him more than a C, only because he missed a lot of time.
Right. He set his own grading standard right there and then clearly did not meet it at all.
Yeah. He graded himself on a very generous curve in terms of availability.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he did the math on I missed X percentage of the season, so I'm adjusting my grade as such. It sounds to me like what he's saying is I feel good about a lot of what happened while I was out there, but I did also miss some time, and admittedly, there were some ups and downs. So, B+. Honestly, I don't know that the thought process behind choosing B+ is much greater than him saying to himself, well, it clearly wasn't an A. I don't want to overinflate myself, but also, I'm pretty good at this, so B+. You know, to me, it's the rest of the quote that's actually more interesting, because he makes a point of saying, I still feel like I learned a lot this year, and that is really the most important thing. And I think that's true. And at least he's recognizing, like, it left something to be desired, right? That's what I really want from the kid, is tell me you care enough to understand that your rookie season left something to be desired. Great.
What I want him to say is, I'm not in grade school anymore. I'm not giving myself a grade. It's demeaning. I'm an adult.
Some of us like when they play along with our silly media games, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want him to be combative with Monty Poole.
absolutely. Because, I mean, who deserves it more than him? Just, you know, that's a ridiculous question.
I don't think
I gave myself an 85. You could dance to it.
No, he's way too young for full-on media contempt.
Right.
What are you thinking?
No, he's
media contempt starts in utero.
He's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Ray. He's still happy to be here.
Let him be a puppy.
You guys have these fabulous, weird delusions about what's out there.
That's our job.
Let him be a puppy.
No.
Let him learn.
No.
Let him learn.
Not at those prices.
So
you better be a Westminster Dog Show candidate at those costs.
Wasabi?
Oh, Wasabi.
I loved Wasabi.
Little poofy guy.
A lot of people are complaining about Wasabi stealing it from the Samoyed.
Mm. Samoyed.
Samoyed? Samoyed. Samoyed, okay. It's a beautiful, definitely beautiful white dog that had the most amount of, best in show, but group wins It's the highest ranking dog. Like, it was definitely the Samoyed was the undefeated Duke team, and here comes upstart George Mason in Wasabi to knock it off the pedestal. A lot of people still complaining that the wrong dog won Westminster. I felt a kindred spirit with Wasabi, so I did not feel that way. Look, a dog show is an opinion. If you're pro this dog, you're going to be anti that dog. I get how it works.
Unless you bet your kid's orthodonture on the Westminster dog show, you don't get to raise a stink about that. You sound like an idiot. You know, I mean, even if you're one of the owners and you just say, my dog got screwed, your dog is happy as hell either way because your dog doesn't know anything. It doesn't make memories that way. Do you care about the dog? Then shut up about him finishing second.
Do you think the dog that wins the Westminster Dog Show knows that it won the Westminster Dog Show? Do you think that the horse that won the Kentucky Derby knows it won the Kentucky Derby on some level?
I think it knows it did good, right? Because I think there's treats and stuff.
There's treats and stuff anyway.
Right, but any day could be the day you won the Kentucky Derby if treats and stuff X marks the spot.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. I did a thing.
Maybe they get a real
thing,
special treat,
though. I don't understand the concept of victory or defeat. I don't understand why I'm in this big hall rather than sitting on my couch.
Is that silver cup at Wynn's not edible? No.
No. I mean, the most, and the only thing that'll happen is your idiot owner is going to put you in the cup, which is also demeaning and disorienting. So there's no benefit to this for the dog at all.
888-957-9570. Do you think that the dog that wins Westminster knows that it won Westminster? Do you think that the horse that wins the Kentucky Derby knows that it just did? Does an animal accomplishing an athletic feat know it just accomplished an athletic feat? 888-957-9570.
We're not sure of anything.
No, we're not. But we will get to the bottom of this. I think it's a great question. I don't know the right answer. I don't think we'll ever
I think we do know the right answer. We're just stretching.
No, we don't know. We don't know. You don't know what Secretariat was thinking, Ray. That's arrogance.
His heart was four times the size of other hearts.
He was cheating.
Do you think that was a cheating heart? Or just a big heart?
Wow. We have gone so far off the trail today.
This is a good first hour of this program. It's a harbinger of better days to come.
There's no such thing as a good first hour. There's always a good last hour.
David Locke is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes to bring it back to basketball, and I can promise you things will make more sense then. Joe DeCamera, which is French for the camera of WIP Radio, is going to be joining us a little bit later on in the 3 o'clock hour because we got the Phillies in town. We got the Sixers, by the way, playing for their lives. I got a Doc Rivers resume that is worse than you think it would be, man, because I think we all respect Doc Rivers, the job that he's done. I think we think he's a good coach on a lot of levels. Like, he's won a title. He's a stabilizing kind of guy. I got a damning Doc Rivers resume to give you a little bit later on, but to say that our phones are exploding over does a horse knew it won a derby. This is Scott in Hayward. Scott, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hello. Do you think the horse that won the Kentucky Derby knows it won the Kentucky Derby?
Well, yeah, because they don't just get, you know, for dog shows and derbies, they don't just get more treats. They get a lot more sex, because that's the whole thing about winning is they breed them. So all of a sudden, they're getting lucky all the time now. So they got to know something's different.
So just based on the studding alone and the breeding alone.
Very interesting. Good point by Scott.
First you get the money, then you get the power. I think I've heard this formula. 888-957-9570.
First you get the derby, then you... Never mind.
Nico in San Francisco. Nico, you're on 95.7 The Game. Does the dog that won Westminster know that it won Westminster?
Hello?
Yeah. Nico.
Nico, go.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm sorry. So that I know, Seabiscuit, the horse, when he was racing, when he competed, he would turn around and during the race and taunt the other horses. So he knew he was beating them. He knew he was in a race. He knew he was competing.
That's what I'm talking about.
But here's the thing. Is that part of the book and the movie and the story that we tell? Or did Seabiscuit, literally be like, you know, your horseshoes suck. I mean, like, how does a horse actually talk, like, neigh to another horse?
Well, I mean, animals communicate, right?
Yeah, but do they communicate trash?
Like, I mean,
was Seabiscuit the Allen Iverson?
Okay. Animals
of
in the
30s
wild,
horse racing scene.
Animals in the wild certainly communicate intimidation.
They call it presenting.
Uh-huh. So, like, that horse knows he's running next to other horses and he's trying to be faster than them. Is it such a leap to trash talk?
Yeah, it is.
I like that Ray's here is the voice of reason. I'm going to be, what's the word? Anthropomorphizing animals all day long here.
Oh, well, no, that's what the dog show is. It's a festival of anthropomorphizing. That's what it is.
Say that again. It's hard to say.
Anthropomorphizing. I was going to try to make it a noun, but I did. That would be making up a word.
Anthropomorphosis.
Do you want to tell the people who don't know what that word means what it means?
Looking for human traits in non-humans.
There was just a video about don't tickle a Ray's belly. Even though like it's cute and it kind of smiles at you, not that Ray, like a stingray.
No, also don't do that though.
Don't tickle that Ray belly's that Ray's belly either. Unless you want to pull up in Sausalito and catch some salmon.
No, I mean that's what pet ownership is. You imagine that your pet is actually just a weirdly formed and badly groomed human. It's insane.
Well,
I mean, we have a dog. I'd give that the burlap goodbye in 5 minutes if my wife would let me.
Good Lord.
So here's the deal. We have a dog that we love very, very much, a dog that Jillian was actually with before she was with me. First she got the dog, then she got me, then she got Jack. I love this dog. I absolutely love this dog with all my heart. But all dogs have a walk-away price. Is the way I feel.
Sure.
All dogs have a walk-away price.
Right, as opposed to your child.
Yeah, mine is much lower than hers.
Sure.
Like a dog walk-away price.
My dog walk-away price at this point, I'm like the Lakers paying Kobe in his last couple seasons. Like, for a 15-year-old dog, my walk-away price would be staggeringly high.
Like $35 million, even though he's a volume shooter, he's meant that much to the franchise.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wait, do you have dog insurance or pet insurance?
I sure do.
Then that establishes it's a minimum $7,500.
Joe in San Francisco. Joe, do animals know they're winners or losers?
Yeah, you know, it depends on the dog, right? I definitely know one dog I saw at one of these Westminster shows. Went totally bananas when it won. It started jumping up and down. It just went crazy. It was clear sign to me that it knew something special had happened. It won. And it acted like it, too. It looked around. And, you know, so that dog, yeah. And one other thing I want to say is, Ray, I love you're going to want me to drink poison for saying this, but I just love you. I think you're the funniest dude in the world. I want a Christmas tree sweater just like you. Over and out.
The man's an idiot.
It's a beautiful compliment.
He loved you, though, Ray.
Well, I don't care. That's a bad sign. Secondly, I don't wear Christmas sweaters. Thirdly, let me reiterate, he's an idiot.
Aw, he loved you.
No, I'm sorry. No, he reached out. That was his first mistake. He's got to come back with teeth marks.
Definitely the first mistake that he made. Hopefully not the last, though. Thank you very much for the call and for the compliment, even though Ray does not know how to take a compliment.
No, I know how to take them with a middle finger coming right back through your eye.
It's lovely. It really is. Here on a Friday afternoon, we will have David Locke when we return. Does the dog know it's a loser? Does the horse know it's a winner? We will return to this topic if necessary.
I love that. On hold now, Anthony has some experience with dogs, is the note that we have.
Good. I want someone who's got some experience with dogs before the end of this show today. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Do you think Barry Bonds' dog knows it's a loser because Barry yells at it after it doesn't win at Westminster?
No, because to Barry, it's just about being there. That dog feels like a winner because of Barry. Even just for showing up.
Just to have a little fun.
Dogs react to what their masters do, or their owners.
Ray, we have a 925 texter who says, I love Ray too, and I admit I'm an idiot.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It is great to have you here. We love these NBA playoffs. They have given us some incredible matchups, some incredible stories to tell. A man who's great at telling sports stories on the Locked In Podcast Network. He is the creator of it. He is the voice, the radio voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke. Nice enough to join us here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. David, thank you very much. We appreciate your time today. I know it's always tough to join us on a game day, so thank you.
My pleasure. Go Giants. I'm digging into my own network for Locked On Giants every day to root for the Giants. What an exciting year.
It's a very exciting year. Who would have thunk it? When it comes to the Utah Jazz, everyone was thinking that this was going to be a very good team, and indeed they have. But boy, did they let one, in my opinion, really off the rope. It felt winnable. The scenario going into the game looked winnable. No Kawhi. Mike Conley, I expect the Jazz to be used to playing without him at this point, but it's hard to play without him. And this is a huge game tonight. I think the Clippers need to close this out because they're not going to get two in Utah. I was surprised they got one.
So, I mean, certainly tonight's, man, you're clearing out your lockers tomorrow and it's a disappointing season. You know, I think what's happened in this series is that while the Jazz played without Mike Conley some during the year and were relatively successful, they never played the same opponent multiple times. So what the Clippers, to their credit, have been able to do is expose the weaknesses of the Jazz without Mike Conley. Multiple ball handlers, multiple shooters, multiple pick and longer existing on this team. Couple that with a pretty severely sprained ankle on Donovan Mitchell, and the Jazz are pretty limited. And the Clippers have done a masterful job of exposing that. And the Jazz have yet to how to team that's figured out how to play them without Mike Conley in some sort of adjustment. So I think that's been big from the Clippers standpoint. They've really simplified the game with Rudy Gobert in the middle on the pick and roll. The Jazz are the best defensive team in the league. Gobert's pick and roll defense is by far the best in the league by a really considerable margin. His difference between 1 and 2 defending bigs is the same as about 2 to 23. In the league. And so they've stopped playing pick and roll and they're simply just driving one-on-one, 5 out, all shooters on the floor, pulls Gobert out of the middle, lets them get in the lane. And, you know, without Kawhi Leonard, that seemed like something that was going to really cause them a problem. They'd run 20% of their plays as Leonard isolations in game 4. They turned it. He was terrific. And so, you know, they didn't miss him as much because he had just an absolutely marvelous game.
Did you believe that the Jazz were this vulnerable before game 5, or did you just think that the Clippers are just an odd matchup for them, but they'll eventually figure it out? Because it seemed like game 5 was the one that I think threw doubt in people's minds, because when they don't have Kawhi Leonard, you should win, unless, of course, you're the Timberwolves.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ray, I don't really agree with you. Because the Jazz guards, Donovan didn't attack a pick and roll driving to the basket once in the first half. He didn't do that because he didn't care. He did it because his leg doesn't work, right? So I'm not sure that I'm not sure that I think that the and so I would also say game 2. This is getting really detail, but in game 2. I noticed that they started matching Zubac minutes to non-Donovan minutes. And then they started switching 1 through 5 because none of the other Jazz players play isolated Conley and without Donovan on the floor at the same time. So there were a bunch of signs that the Clippers had come up with answers with their 4, 6-foot-8, 220-pound guys, and that the Jazz didn't in their current state didn't have the players to be able to match that. Now, if Mike comes back tonight, that helps a little bit, but Donovan's still very, very limited.
Well, let's get right to that. Do you think Mike Conley will be on the floor tonight? And assuming they are both on the floor, does the outcome just come down to what they're both able to conjure out of their beat-up bodies? Did we lose him?
I think we might have lost, Dave. There was a shaky cell phone.
Yeah, that was fighting uphill the whole time.
It was. You know, the whole thing where Steve Kerr sends his cell phone around the league after his season ends, it's screwed up.
Yeah. We were talking about pizza yesterday, and I just wanted to point out a tweet. Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver, asked, who's got the best pizza, New York or Chicago? Oh. And the website for the state government of New Jersey sent out a response that said, me.
Wow. I love the self-confidence. I really, really do.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea whether it is or not.
David Locke is back with us, hopefully on a much better connection this time around. David, do we have you back?
I think so. Sorry, I think the Wi-Fi was trying to kick into the cell coverage.
No problem, man. We're glad to have you back. You were just asked about...
I was basically just asking, like, does this game ultimately essentially come down to what can Mitchell and Conley pull out of bodies that are nowhere near 100%?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good summation to it. You know, what can Mike Conley do if he plays? Does that second ball, can he create as a second ball handler? I mean, if they're going to double Donovan up top and you can get the ball to Conley, now you're 4-on-3 with a second ball with a creator. Like, you're going to... You guys know that well. That's how Draymond Green's made a living, right? Double team Steph up top, find Draymond in the middle, and let him go to work.
Downhill.
And he's not even the scorer that Conley is. So, yeah, that absolutely. And then Donovan's got to be really early, even if the ankle. I mean, he clearly tried to get himself through that game the other night, but just watching it, you know, they're switching, and every time they switch, he's just backing it out. He's just got to come off the pick, and regardless of them switching, he's got to attack. But he's. It's very clear. He only wants to attack off the left leg, and he really only wants to land on the left leg. It's a pretty hard way to play in the NBA.
I picked the Utah Jazz to win the NBA Finals this year. I would love to see it happen because I've seen them come so close and have so many good teams come up short. And let's be honest, if the Clippers win a title, no one's even really going to care in L.A. In the state of Utah, I watched the Golden State Warriors go from incompetent to one of the greatest teams of all time, and it's amazing to watch the fan base and how it reacted to it. Utah has been so competent for so long, but never ultimately rewarded. What would it mean to Salt Lake if this team really did win an NBA title? Do we lose David again? Well, that's it. Then I'm sorry. We're just in a bad connection.
We tried.
We really tried.
We really tried. Everybody put in an effort.
Yeah.
You know, we got some good answers to the questions we asked.
Tell him thank you very much.
Yeah, Utah needs to win for one reason, Game 7.
Yeah.
The first round of the playoffs, teams were getting run out quickly. This time, the chaos has been just the way it should be. And I'm saying that even though that means that Atlanta needs to lose too.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, we already got one Game 7, right? Let's triple up.
Any series that ends before seven games is a game that's been stolen from us as a society.
Well, you know, we can view it in the classic Ray Ratto most miserable way. By the way, from a 925 texter, Ray's misery is my reason for living. Please never be happy.
Let me tell you, there's one time where you don't want a game seven. If you're the Suns in four guy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I got a good story about the Suns in four guy.
I think I know what it is.
Devin Booker found him.
Yeah.
Found him. His name is perfect. He looks like a Nick McKellar, don't you think? His name is Nick McKellar. Booker's CAA reps found this guy. It was actually pretty easy with all the attention that was put on that viral video of his. He is a lifelong Suns fan who now lives in Denver. So Booker and the Suns are sending him all the swag that you could possibly send a guy, and they're going to fly him into Phoenix for a conference finals games. Now, I've seen some people clutch their pearls, thinking that they're interesting or helping society, saying,
did that man exhibit behavior that should really be rewarded in any way?
Absolutely he did. Absolutely he did. And I can prove it to you by the way crowds act. Surrounding Nuggets fans cheered and endorsed the beating of their own hometown fans. That doesn't happen casually or lightly. Everyone in that section basically said that McKellar had a good-natured back and forth with the entire section and the entire evening was going fine until those two Nuggets fans popped off. And that's when things became violent and ugly. And you saw the sucker punch with your own two eyes. Like, you saw it, right? You saw that sucker punch. Plus, here's another reason why the guy deserves to be flown into Phoenix. He fought from the low ground.
That's right.
He had the low ground.
And there's a second video has come out of it that starts like a minute earlier. And you can see they're talking. And then one of those dudes takes his tall boy and turns it upside down over Nick McKellar's head. That's when it first gets physical. And then after McKellar kind of manhandles him, he's like, all right, enough. Starts to turn away. And that's when the guy throws the sucker punch. At a certain point, you deserve to be beaten. Sorry. Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. That's how you can define that situation.
Well, for me, I'm not a proponent of violence.
Nor am I, by the way.
But this is one of those egregious moments where the guy's trying to avoid a confrontation. I mean, he took the beer, I mean, more good-naturedly than I think most people would have.
Yeah.
And you know, when the guy sucker punches him, now he's basically saying, I'm going to hit you unless you hit me. And he just happened to pick the wrong guy.
Yeah, he picked the wrong guy. That's right. That dude sucker punched the wrong guy. He thought he wasn't sucker punching a tough guy, but he was. Oops.
And basically, the rule of thumb is, first punch defines what happens after that.
Yeah.
By the way, welcome everybody to 3 o'clock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.